they asked Jesus, what is it that we must do to work the works of God? He didn't have a long list of do's and don'ts and where you needed to attend and what you needed to do and how you needed to do this and need to do that. He said this, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom the Father has sent. What does that mean? It means that you come at some point to know Him in the fullness of who He is, to where that all the works of Christ are manifest, that can be manifest in you. What does that mean? It means someplace, somewhere along this journey, you've got to begin to lose your identity. And you've got to begin to find your identity in Jesus Christ. For if you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, you can ask what you want. But your wants will be His. Your desires will be His. Because your identity won't be found in yours. Your place, but it'll be found in Him. And you know what? That's where it gets real easy. Real easy to walk out. You lose your identity and find your identity in Him. That's the place. There's no more struggle in that. Satan doesn't have an answer for that. Your flesh can't be corralled in that. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Sometimes some people they say, well, if it's all in Him, what are we doing anyhow? They can't connect the dots. They think, okay, well then why do we worship so long? And because we're accessing His grace. And His grace is all He does in His grace is to give you the full revelation is you're not the one doing it. Well, if I'm not the one doing it, why do I do anything? Because you're still in the flesh. And you're just locked up in it until you get to the place where you find out He really wants to take me over. Hallelujah. Marcia, you saw something you were praying yesterday. Would you share that?
Yesterday I was praying and just spent the day in prayer. Rex had to go on a Tribe of Judah run, and Holy Spirit just said to me when He left, He goes, spend the day in prayer. Even though I had an agenda, I knew He was going to be gone. So I already had the day planned. But the Holy Spirit said, pray today and do this one other thing. So I said, okay. So I just went in the living room and I just put on a worship CD and I just started worshiping God and praying and spending time with the Father. And as I spent time with Him, a few hours had gone by, and I just laid quietly there on the floor, and I just said, Lord, I'm just going to bask in Your presence. Just spend time with You and love You. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just started showing me, and I was hearing Him say, I am Your Father. I am the Father. I am the Father. And I supply all needs. I supply everything. Just like there's earthly fathers that are millionaires, billionaires, and their kids just go get whatever they need. They just buy whatever they need. They just go get it because their Father has the provision. And He said, I am your heavenly Father. I have the provision. For you, I have the provision, and I want to provide everything. And He said, I have the lungs and the livers and the kidneys and the gallbladders and the eyeballs and the arms and the legs. Whatever we need, He has it. He already supplied it. Plus, as well as our natural things that we need, but He wants us to get the revelation. He's our Father God. Hallelujah. He's our Father. He's our Father. We've got to get that in us. He's our Father. And He's already provided everything. And there was such presence of the Lord. And it was so easy. I saw the church and I saw us all in here. And I just saw us. And I just saw how we could just walk down the aisle and just touch people. Pastor Bronk would just touch this one or that one. And the other ones would touch people. And they'd receive eyeballs. And legs would grow out. And arms would grow. And people would be healed, cancers and tumors would just fall off. But there was such a presence of the Lord. There was such a presence, and that's where God wants us to get. That's what we're striving for here. We're pressing into God to allow that flow. But it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. God wants to move through us.
Hallelujah.
But are we going to spend that time? Or are we going to say, okay, I had that plan today, but no, I'm going into Jesus. I'm going to listen to the Holy Ghost. So we can get the revelation so the Holy Spirit can teach us. The Holy Spirit wants us to get the revelation of who the Father is. That we're kids. Jesus said, unless they come as a child, they can't enter the kingdom. How is a child? They just receive. They know their daddy's there to take care of them. They know their father's there and is going to provide and make a way where there is no way. They so trust. God wants us to so trust. We just got to trust in Him.
Hallelujah.
And just rely on Him.
Worship.
Get that revelation and worship God. We got to people.
Hallelujah.
Come in. It's our choice. It's our choice. I could have chose not to pray to get that revelation. And I wouldn't have got the revelation. Because I'm telling you, this is practical. It was a war. It wasn't easy to pray all day long because my flesh was going. Because the Holy Spirit said pray and fast for the day. Said, you don't eat, you don't do nothing but pray till your husband gets home.
Hallelujah.
And so that's what I did. But the thing of it is, we've got to go in. We got to go into God, forget our agendas, and go with the Holy Ghost. We got to go with God so
Hallelujah.
We can get the revelation and learn who our Father is. But my flesh, my mind would say, and my flesh would say, oh, go get something to eat. Oh, you don't need to keep praying. And I just kept praying in the Holy Ghost. And finally, I'd say, no, settle down. Finally, I got so mad at my flesh because it was screaming. I said, shut up. In the name of Jesus. I said, flesh, you settle down right now. And in the name of Jesus, mind, flesh, will, emotions, you come in line with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost rules and reigns in my life. My spirit man, my flesh, my will, my emotions is lining up to the Holy Ghost. And I'm going into God. And I'm pressing in and I'm pressing through. And that's what we got to do. We got to say, no, I'm not doing that other stuff. I'm pressing into the Lord. I'm pressing into God. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm putting worship music on in my house. I'm turning off that TV. And I'm watching what I'm watching. I'm going to guard my eyes. I'm going to guard myself. I'm going to teach my children the right way to go. Because it's up to us to go into God and say no to the flesh.
Hallelujah.
Say no to what we want to do and yes to the Lord. Then we're going to see
Hallelujah.
The miracles, the signs and the wonders. And it's not just Pastor Bronk's responsibility.
Worship.
It's not his responsibility to pray
Worship.
Every day. It's not just his responsibility. It's all of us because it's Christ in us who wants to rise out of all of us. We all flow together in the anointing of God, in the Holy Ghost of God, allowing Hallelujah. The river to flow over into all of us. How else are we all going to have a song, a hymn, a story to tell, a thing to say if we don't spend the time with the Holy Ghost? Jesus! Jesus!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, Jesus!
I think we can put the
Jesus.
The buckets out now. Take up an offering. Go. Hallelujah. How many are going to choose to worship Him during the service?
That was the other thing, Pastor, I saw that I forgot about. The Holy Spirit showed me how God so wants to let the finances just flow and flow. That the gospel, that He can speak to us and He can say, give this so that gospel can be preached. Give this so this can be done. Give that so this can be done. Because he's got it all. He's got it all. And I just saw it. I saw him say, man, if you could get a hold of, I'm the Father. I got all the money. All you got to do is write the check and give it. Write the check and give it. Because he's our daddy. And he's got it. We got to get this mentality to the will of the Lord and what he has for us. Because he wants us to finance the kingdom. He wants us to have all the money that we need to let this gospel go out everywhere. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Man, I got the quickest head usher in the business. Why don't you go ahead and do that then? I come up. You know, there's only one drawback, and it's not his fault. The glory that comes and what we feel so often. You know, you get born again, then you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then you start reading the Psalms, and you find out somebody loved him before you did, and he didn't even have a nature like yours, and then the Holy Spirit starts helping you and he wets your ground every day. You just feel the presence of God. The only thing is the enemy will use that sometimes against you to keep you from living in the place where you were created to live, which is out of that new nature. And that's the place of faith. My hat goes off to the Baptist. If you're a Baptist, I'm not running you down this morning. They go in and they'll sit through the driest God. I mean, you know, tumbleweeds are rolling through the service. Tumbleweeds. Because the Holy Spirit, nobody prayed in tongues. Nobody got ready. No extended worship service. But yet, they'll live their entire years and years as good moral people just on the revelation that they've been born again. And yet, we who have been born again and so much has been poured into us. Experiences that you can't even count. How many times have you fell in the Spirit and wept for hours and the Holy Spirit would water your ground and water your ground? And yet when it comes to trials, if you don't feel that, you think, I can't lift my hands today. I'll wait till I feel it. That experience never was to replace the foundation of the Word, that when you did not feel it, it didn't make a hill of beans whatsoever. Some of you be better off. I'm not running anybody off. But some of you need to go visit some dead churches for about 6 months and take a training of how to just walk by faith and then come back and just enjoy your salvation. Go get involved in a dead church where the tumbleweeds and learn how to just walk. And then when you come in, my God, you'll be wanting to shout your shoes right off. We've been born again. Oh, that didn't help nobody, did it? Jesus, my God. Homer, I think you're going to have to preach this morning. I worship you, Jesus. 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 I magnify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise and magnify you. Hallelujah. He's going to reintroduce many of you to a place, if he's not already, to a place that you once were. You find yourself at that door again. And this will be the report. You haven't lost anything. But this time He wants you to know something when you go through that door. There was a scripture Candy read this morning. And I love it because I'm sitting there and it's almost all the Psalms. I can hear Homer, he's saying it right along with her. And he doesn't have his Bible open. But one part that was in that Psalm, whatever Psalm that was, it said, 18. He said, then I did beat my enemies. I beat them as the dust. I cast them out in the street. Listen, one thing the Holy Spirit wants you to know about this time. Once you get your enemy on the run and you feel yourself excelling, don't stop. When you think you've won, that's the time to pick it up a notch. Go a little faster and a little further. The greatest deception the enemy ever used is when people start feeling good about themselves enough to think, okay, I can relax a little bit. And he just takes them right back to ground zero again. Take the time now to beat your enemy sore. That part of your flesh that's always hung around, take it to the limit and beat it as the dust. I mean to where there's nothing left. You can put it under a microscope and you say, I don't see it anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this, the enemy has held many in garrison for many years. Think you not that there is not a place in me that is so free that once you pass that mark, you'll turn and you can't even find the day of oppression. You'll look for it sorely as if to say, I knew this was once a part of my life. And yet the freedom will be so strong that those things that once approached you and continue to rule and reign over you to the measure that you reason it out and said this, well, this is something I'll always have to live with because I've went to this height in God and still hasn't gotten rid of it in the past. So evidently, this is just something of the flesh to be lived out. No, saith the Spirit of grace, I have places in my spirit where the flesh cannot badger you, cannot trump you, cannot fight you on the basis of which you've known before in the past. But you'll soar as the winged eagle above these things because when you got the chance, you beat these things to a place that they were no more in your life, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah! Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah! There's coming a day, and it's right here on us, that the liberty against your flesh will be so strong that you won't even be able to measure it by any experience that you've had in the past. You'll say, I went to this place in the Word, in the Spirit before, and yet you'll say, that was nothing compared to the liberty that He's introducing a lot of you to now. So the best thing you can do is just run in that door. Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you. Hallelujah. I glorify you. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This part is as supernatural as the other. For there are people inside of my people. For I've always had my church. For even when the prophet cried out against my church, there was a church that I could stand and present to him and say, there are 7,000 beyond yourself that have not bowed their knee to the God of this world. To know this, I'll always have that remnant, but that remnant will grow. And know this, that even in these days, there will be a remnant that will know how to receive from me out of heaven those things that will bless their finances and cause them to prosper. It'll not be the chatter of talk by reason of buzzwords that one says it, so I'll say it and I'll create it for myself. But though that they that know their God, the inner workings of my spirit, know this, that they'll be strong and do exploits. Dicio la brota le bocoste fremande hiti. Oh, there'll be a day that those of you that know me will be quiet. Quiet when others are talking about their defeat. Because you'll feel the measure almost like embarrassed to know that your pockets are so lined and your bank account is so blessed when others are talking such defeat. And you'll feel as if somehow you'll place them on a lower scale if you testified. But know this, that this testimony is my testimony, that all those who come before me and desire to know me, I'll pour this into your life to the measure that you can bring forth these things into the body and finance what I'm about to do. Would you like to be a part and inner working of what I'm about to do? I'll show you these things, saith the Spirit of grace. And the more that your heart goes after me, the more that my heart will go after you to teach you prosperity in the midst of famine, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus.
She was kind of telling me about what, you know, she did that day, and I knew that I had done what I was to do that day, and, you know, and I just, you know, it just came together where it was just, you know, there wasn't a question if I do go or if I don't go. It looked like it was raining all day and, well, I don't want to get all wet and all that kind of thing. But it's just the obedience that just makes the difference, you know, whenever you step in and just become obedient to the Lord. Is just, that's just where I see the, and that's why I know I've been called to pray a lot more than I have been in the past. It's just on me all the time to pray. And it's like, because I'm going to have what I say or I'm not going to have. That's really the bottom line. I'm going to have what I say or I'm not going to have. That choice is up to me to make. But see, the more I come to know Him and the more I come to love Him, the more I come to love the people that He wants me to minister onto, you know, and the, His loved ones are so important to Him. So is it worth the fight? Is it worth the fight? Is it worth the fight for our loved ones, the ones that He would have us minister onto? Is it worth the fight for us to know what our calling is? Is it worth the fight? I mean, that's just what I believe. Is it worth the fight?
Hallelujah.
It absolutely is.
Yes.
Because the more I become obedient to what He says, the more I just want to serve Him.
Hallelujah.
The more I love His loved ones. And it ain't about what I can do or what I can do. I mean, I have more enjoyment praying for others and seeing other ones reach their positions. That brings me greater joy.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it just does. So I know it's not for me because that's not a natural thing.
Jesus.
It's not a natural thing to feel that way. So Father, I just thank You so much that we can serve You like this, Lord. I just love You, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a God is melting our hearts. And if you don't think that if your heart doesn't get involved with the propagation of the lost souls and you start praying for people, that if you'll listen to Him, God will become your greatest counselor and will prosper you beyond measure. If your intent is to see how far you can go with it. Now, David ran around to his brethren and said, "Is there not a cause?" There is a cause. He was trying to wake them up. Most of you are getting real woke up. A lot of you have been in dreams for a long time, but the smelling salt sauce is the ammonia is waking you up. You're coming out of your dreams. You're going to feel like yourself again. And you're going to begin to feel like yourself in God. Hallelujah. Old things of the flesh, it's not going to have you down anymore. Hallelujah. And you'll just live to give. Hallelujah. Just live to give. Praise God. You'll go find that guy that was wanting that gal that was who you used to be that was waiting for the next payoff so you could go buy a bigger four-wheel drive or another ATV or another bass boat or another. You'll just go see if you can go find them just to go beat on them a little bit. Say, you know, you once distracted me from my real call in life. You say, well, is any of that wrong? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's wrong if you do it and don't invite me. Now, there's a cause. Hallelujah. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for this grace. How we need you, and so thankful, Lord, for your body being assembled together, and everybody that's here, and everybody that's not here will be here. All our sons and daughters, all of our friends, for this great outpouring, and then we'll go home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've had a good time already. Thank you, Jesus. Would you turn just for a few moments with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless this because you blessed it. Thank you for your word. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, we don't have time, but I do want to activate one thing right now. How many of you believe this is the Word of God? Do you believe that your salvation is dependent on it? I mean, the truth's in it. Amen? So you can't believe one part of it any more than you do all of it. The fact of the matter is, sometimes we'll read it as a fairy tale, a storybook. And I'm asking you this morning to put yourself in this and put yourself in the imagination of it. You know, you don't lose your imagination when you turn 40. 20 or 30. It's really something that was given to you by God. You can put that image inside of you and realize the truth of it. Sometimes we'll read these things and we'll read them like, oh, that's nice. But the fact of the matter is, if it's recorded there, it's a truth. Even it's a factual kind of truth, like something happened to somebody for our benefit, or we read about it for our benefit. And it deserves a whole lot more than just a casual passing. And sometimes we're all guilty of that. We really don't have the time we've really enjoyed ourselves to go into the full length on this. But Paul, who wrote Corinthians and founded the church at Corinth, and he was there at times up to a year and a half. He fathered them, and then only to find out that after he would move on and God would give him another assignment, that people would come in and try to corrupt the doctrine. This man, Paul, not to exalt him more than what he should be exalted, but he had more revelation knowledge, sometimes even than the disciples of Jesus. And he owed all of his revelation knowledge to what he wrote about in the book of Corinthians. His source of revelation knowledge, as you may know, was praying in tongues. He shared that with us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and throughout that whole chapter, he shares what his source was. So it's incredible. Can you imagine if you never met Jesus, because none of us ever have, and yet somebody actually lived with him for 3 years, ate breakfast with him every morning, and yet you'd know more about the mind of Christ than that person that actually lived and ate with him, and you'd have to take the moment in time that the Holy Spirit gave you to correct one of His original disciples. What in God's green earth could ever empower a man unless he was just, or a woman, unless she was just, trying to be self-exalted. What give them the right to stand up and correct one of the original 12? Well, Paul had such a revelation knowledge. And he had such a word base in him. You see, God wants to use you. But the greatest way you'll ever be used by God is to have a word, a strong word base in you so that God can take. See, God groomed Paul all those years. He had a real strong foundation in the law. So when he got saved, the Holy Spirit just breathed on that. And when he started praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit could go back and index and take out of the library all of everything that Paul knew concerning the law. And he could trump bad doctrine and teach sound doctrine. Listen, every one of you, if you don't have a Bible, and I'm not saying this sarcastically, please, you don't have to openly, but come and tell us. We'll get you one. This is your best friend right here. The rules of engagement have changed, people. Satan is coming at the church with a ferocity of just a... He's coming at such a pace that if you don't have this inside of you, you'll be shaken in the days ahead. But if you have this abiding inside of you, and if you love it, and if you put your... Well, I can't read. Hey, there's solutions for that too. There's the Bible on CD, and there's no excuse now on God's green earth that any human being, whether you can read, can't read, you can't say your ABCs, there's no reason why you can't have the Word of God inside of you. Hallelujah to God. Whew. He made it easy in these last days, didn't He? You can walk around and you can get more than the apostles had. Glory be to God. Well, Paul cites in what we're about to read the reason why he had so much trouble with the devil was because he had so much revelation knowledge. Isn't that amazing? That the devil would want to stomp and stamp out somebody so bad that he would send catastrophe and he'd send people and he'd do this and he'd do that. You'd think that Paul would list here, the reason why I had to be stopped is because I had a big international ministry. No. I had a million people mailing list. No. I had to be stopped because I knew more about the doctrine, God's Word. Listen, folks, when Paul was going through what we're about to read, he didn't realize he was as special as he was. Many of you don't realize why you have to be stopped. The devil will crawl over, he'll crawl over multitudes of preachers with international ministries to get to somebody like you if you're filling yourself with the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God in revelation power, when it's true doctrine, has always a potential of explosive atomic power. If it is given long enough to incubate under the power of God, at a given moment, it can get past the flesh. And when it explodes, it can mushroom out and feed millions of people the truth. And you say, well, why would any... Listen, David, when he was out in the wilderness, he kept asking himself, Hey, why does Saul want me? I'm just a flea. Why does he want me? Listen, some of you are going through trials at different times and you say, I don't know why the enemy wants to try to badger me. Listen, we're going into revival. And those of you that are sitting here for the right reasons and listening for the purpose of God to be birthed in your heart, and you're getting this revelation knowledge, listen, your day may not have come yet. You may not be out there where you think you're supposed to be, but if you're getting this inside of you, that potential to one day explode is worth the enemy coming after to try to stop you. But guess what? there's a grace that is sufficient. There is a way that, now listen to me, not some of the time, not 99%, I'm talking about 100% of the time that you can live victorious. It's not contingent on what's happening around you. That's the best part. If it is contingent on what's happening around you, the enemy can devise something that will eventually take you out. But when we read this man's epitaph, when we read his story, it's not... Listen, put yourself, please, give the Bible, give the Word of God, give this man enough respect to know this, that this is a human being talking about his life and giving you his testimony. And you know what? Sometimes when we patronize the Word, when we read about somebody, Jesus, they put the crown up. Listen, that hurt him just like it would hurt you. The suffering that he went through hurt him just as bad. We talked about that a little bit recently. I won't go too far in that because you may be ministering that in a couple weeks. Let me tell you, what Paul writes about here, he had established the church, and then the church had preachers come into it. You know, if I'm imagining Paul, now I've got an imagination. Some of you maybe you think of him differently. If I see him in Atlanta airport, he's flying someplace. He's a modern day Paul. You know, I'm looking over there at the man, and people are saying, that's the apostle. You know, he's probably got on a pair of dungarees and New Balance tennis shoes and a sports shirt. Well, I thought he'd have a power suit on. You know, I'm not against suits. I like them. I need to go buy me another one. The only problem about power suits is this. That's about all you get. There's nothing inside the suit. And Paul had to be stopped because of what he knew. Many of you are thinking, I'm not running an international ministry. Why do I need to be stopped? Because you're a potential towards revival. You're a potential towards revival. Look here real quickly with me for just a moment in chapter 11. Paul, actually, if we could go through this, you'll know that he's apologizing because he breaks down, but he's allowed by God to kind of get sarcastic and tell those that were comparing him, they were saying, look, you know, you're not wearing the power suit, Paul. Your tie doesn't match. And these other guys have a pedigree. Oh, they're good speakers. Listen, after the people have done this, woo, that was a good speech. That was wonderful. Now, tell me how I can go home, put my little rear end in the chair and change my tomorrow. If my PowerPoint didn't tell me how to make me stop cussing my wife or stop lusting after the woman across the pew or didn't tell me how to change my finances, then I don't need no woo! What academics, what 1, 2, 3, see the things that change your life are boring. Sitting in a chair, that'll eventually pray you out of your meanness. But that's boring. I want a PowerPoint. Give me a PowerPoint. See, I already know I need to love more. I already know that there's things about my flesh. I already know that there's but listen, I want something interesting out of the Word. Give me something interesting, prophetic, and, you know, it's wonderful. But listen, after it's said and done, what is it about it that's going to change your life? This man had that working inside of him. Folks, you've got that working inside of you. You know that if you put your nose in this and you meditate it things will change. But that's boring. You know, if you go in the room and I worship you, Jesus, I magnify you and praise you, and you do that three or four times a week for an hour, you'll come out of your depression. You'll come out of it. But see, those things are, no, I want a quick fix. I want a prayer line. I want some power. Give me five PowerPoints that I can practice. Listen, here they are. Pray in tongues. Meditate in the Word. Worship. Fast. Confess. Confession. Listen to what Paul said here in verse 22. He said, are they Hebrews? He says, so am I. Are they Israelites? Well, he says, so am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. He's talking about preachers here. He says, are they ministers of Christ? He says, basically, he's prefacing himself and says, forgive me, church. I'm speaking as a fool. I shouldn't do this, but nevertheless, Christ is letting me do this. He says, I speak as a fool, I more, in laborings more abundantly. That, we're just going to take just a moment to read this, kind of slow and methodically. In stripes above measure. Now, he wasn't talking about stripes on his arms, you know, like military patches here. He says, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Now, listen. If you read this real quick, you can go on and still say sad about yourself. You know the mind, listen, here's how the mind works. The mind, unrenewed, now if the mind is renewed continually by the Word of God, it keeps expanding. Your God gets real big. Your world gets real big. But if your mind is not being renewed, a hangnail will be your focus so much until that'll become the whole world you live in. You tell somebody, look, they're dying over there. We need to rescue them. They're going to hell. I can hear their cries every night. And they'll look at you and say, "That's I hear you. I can hear you. But look, have you seen this? Look, I broke my nail today. I broke my whole world's focusing around this because I've been thinking about it for 6 months. They can't hear you because even you can give them the most compassionate story. What happened to you this morning? A whirlwind came through. A tornado tore up the whole neighborhood. There was people dying everywhere. We pulled some people out of a burning. And then this happened and that happened. And then God moved on the scene and some people got out of a wheelchair. And there was another lady got raised from the dead over here. And they're looking at you and like, yeah, I know, but you haven't heard my problem. See, when it's the fulcrum, all you think about is yourself. That's your world. You get so tight in that world that Jesus Christ exploding around you won't shake you. But the Word can get you out of that. The Word can get you out of that. You can live big or you can live small. You can live big or you can live small. You say, well, they didn't even cry when I told them that. No, because they're so focused on their hangnail. See that thing right there? See? See? And not that your problem isn't important, but let me tell you something. Let me just show you how big Christ can be to you. It's inexhaustible. In retrospect, He can get so small, your little Jesus can get in a bottle so big that He can't do nothing for you. He can't change your flesh. He can't change your world. You'll have to live like you are. But look what Paul says here. He says, I speak as a fool. I am more. He says, laborings abundantly, stripes above measure, and prisons more often. Now, how would you like to give this kind of testimony? In deaths, his press to the point, more often than all these guys. He said, three times I was beaten. No, of the Jews, 24, of the Jews, five times. Now, this happened, unless the man's lying. Five times in his life, the Jews called him and took him away and beat him with 39 stripes. I mean, can you just now put yourself, here he is, he's been beat three or four times, three times or four times, and he's in another situation, and he's thinking, my God, I can see where this is going again. When they beat him, listen, when they beat him, it hurt him the fifth time, the fourth time, as much as it did the first time. And it hurt him as bad as it would hurt. Now, if one of us got beat for the namesake of Christ, it would be all over national TV. We'd make it known. Isn't it amazing that all the preachers that you hear on TV, none of them have this testimony? No, because America's going to be saved from all that. And the rest of the world's suffering. Folks, we got to get strong. We got to get so strong that, you know those commercials where all those guys are just coming in on your... You wake up, you look outside, and the whole world's caving in. And you just close the blind and say, what's out there? A major World War III. Let's have breakfast, honey. Let's just worship God. Or you can get so small that everything keeps you out of church. I'm not going today. Why? What major war? What major... How many demons are manifest on your front lawn to keep you out? Well, my perm just slipped a little bit. My God. We're going to have revival. But that's none of y'all. You can get big. Your world in Christ can get so big. Listen, after the third time I was beat, I would probably... Hopefully not. Hopefully I'm growing. But I would reconcile that on the fourth or fifth time I would think. Now see, this is where most people go. I'm not doing something right. I'm not doing something right. I need to change. I need to go do something different. Paul used his beatings as a testimony. I'm headed in the right direction. Listen, folks, when things get tight around you, that doesn't mean they have to get tight on the inside. Paul would have, you know, most modern day preachers would have went on CBN or something and said, I've been beat. Would you please send me an offering? But this man, look what he says. He was beat five different times. They led him away and he still wouldn't quit. He'd just get up after every beating. Why? Because his world had gotten big in Christ. Three times he says, I was beaten with rods. That's not the other five times beating. Tradition has it that the rod beatings were rods that they beat your feet with to cripple you. Three different times. I mean, one time in your life is enough. How big had this man's world gotten Christ? Well, that's the Apostle Paul. No, that's you and me. This grace is given unto us. Three times they crippled this man's legs to where he couldn't walk, and then he'd just keep confessing and praying until he walked out of it. My God. I think a lot of us have been so discouraged, you wouldn't have seen us for 6 months. I've been beat. Where was God when I needed Him the most? You know what? I've heard that they say that there's some preachers, the ultra faith preachers will say, if Paul would have known how to confess himself out of that, he wouldn't have had to go through that. Oh, Lord Jesus is right. Listen, folks, there's a place in Him when no matter what comes, His grace is sufficient. He says, I was once stoned. A lot of you say, yeah, I was too one time. But not for the namesake of Christ. This man, rocks hit him in the head. They hit him in the... Now listen, they hit him in the head until one place he died. And the brethren raised him back up. My God, folks, pray for me. I just don't know where I'm at in all that. The guy wouldn't quit. He wouldn't get offended at Christ because... The enemy kept coming at him. Glory to God. Well, are you saying that we have to do all this? No, I'm just saying that there's too much of a gap between where most Christians are living. God is showing you through this man, there's no place that you exhaust the grace of God to get back up and keep going and have a powerful ministry. Excuse me if I was shouting. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered a shipwreck. Three times. Now, can you look? You know, I'm looking at this man. He's over in the Delta area of Atlanta Airport. And I say, now look at that. Is that it? You know, he'd have to be like Jesus. You know, anybody that's like Jesus is very approachable. Little kids, you can talk to them for 30 minutes. You probably talk to Jesus for 30 minutes if he didn't tell you who he was. And you'd say, man, I like talking to this guy. And he'd just be so approachable. So approachable. And he wouldn't start in on you like, I need to correct you for something. He'd probably spend the whole day with you before he'd ever say anything to you about it. Little kids would run up and talk to Apostle Paul. Sitting there in his khakis. Just waiting. Would you sign my Bible? Would you sign my Bible? Where are you going? I'm flying to Tulsa. Going to a conference. Yeah, well, what flight are you? Well, I'm 138. My God, that's mine. That's great. And then you go to the men's restroom and you think, wait a minute. That guy's had 8 plane crashes. Every plane he gets on crashes. You go back and say, you know what? My wife just called me. We've had an emergency at home. See, sometimes a lot of bad things will happen to good people who are headed forward, but they don't stop. Every ship he'd get on, if you were on his ship, you'd say, oh my God, do we have life preservers here? Because Paul's on this ship. Because everywhere he goes, the devil's trying to kill him. It was a confirmation to him that he was doing the right thing. And he learned, listen, we haven't got to the scripture, but he learned to switch over from a place of dependency on the flesh to a place of dependency on the Spirit. And folks, that is your victory. And you don't have to go to where you're pulling your hair out to switch. You can begin at the first moment when the trial hits to know, hey, wait a minute, I got to switch now my dependency over on Christ if I'm going to make it through this. It's not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. My wisdom can't come from me. My joy can't come from me. I can't raise myself up. I can't keep going. He said this. He said, in journeys often, in perils. You know, perils is the word danger. It's the word danger. I mean, there is danger. Besides the man getting beaten, besides for, if he was a modern day guy, this guy would have had plane crashes. You'd say, well, nothing bad ever happens to the righteous. Listen. The enemy wants to take you out. Why? If you're a revivalist and have revelation knowledge, but he cannot do it if you know how to switch your dependency over on Christ. Look, he says this. He says, in journeys often, in perils of water, dangers of waters. That waters is flowing waters, because a little bit he talks about deep waters. But I don't know if he was forging rivers. He was having to be like David Hogan. Perils of waters, perils of robbers, dangers of my own countrymen, dangers of the heathen, dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilderness. I mean, the devil would go out even in the woods where he was at to try to track this guy down. Dangers in the wilderness, danger in the sea, perils with false brethren. He said in weariness and painfulness, in watchings. Watchings is the word staying up. All night. A lot of times he'd be sitting around the fire looking at his. I speak to you, toe, in Jesus' name. You were beat last week, but I command you in Jesus' name, you will walk. You broken toes, I command you in Jesus' name. The power of Christ lives in me. I command you in Jesus' name. Weariness, often. In fast, he says, in hunger and thirst. It even differentiates in fastings. Sometimes, I mean, the guy was true blue. He was honest. If he didn't have food, he didn't say he was fasting. Somebody said, I fasted all day. Did you plan on fasting? No, but I was so busy I didn't get a chance to eat. Well, then you just didn't go without, you just went without food. You didn't intend on fasting. But that's okay. There's nothing, no sin in that. But Paul said, I wasn't fasting. I'd have ate if I'd have had food. I just didn't have any food to eat. I'm not getting a credit for fasting. There just wasn't no bologna on the table to eat. Glory to God. Don't shout me down. He says, in cold and nakedness, beside all those things that were without. Oh my God. You're talking about the full measure? Look at this. He said, besides for those things that are without, those are outside things. Well, that's enough. I don't want that. Keep that devil. I don't want that one. But he says, besides for all those external things, he said this. He said, the care which is of the churches came upon me daily. Now, he wasn't saying that he was supposed to receive that care. He said, this thing that we read about in the next chapter, we got to move on here real quick. But this thing kept trying to not only externally take him out, but also continue to introduce care to him for all the churches. Because everywhere he went, he had a devil's following him. Can you imagine how I would feel if I moved on from here? And I'm not the man that's made this church. All of us, through Christ, have made this church. But what if I moved on, felt it was firmly established, and a year later somebody told me, you know what? It's amazing. You know there's a doctrine in that church now that you can pray too much in tongues? I'd say, what? Yeah, the church at Immokalee believes you can pray too much in tongues. Do you know how hurt that I'd be for Christ? Oh, and you know, Pastor, now you know how they take up their offerings? How's that? You're under a curse if you don't tithe. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Yeah, they're taking up wave offerings and first fruits offerings and tabernacle offerings. And then the guy goes in the corner and blows the shofar. And when he blows it, everybody comes down and lights a candle and gives. That's what Paul was having to put up with. The enemy would be telling him, you haven't done anything. You haven't accomplished. Do you know, all of you will never know what you are accomplishing until he shows it to you. And possibly we won't know for sure until we get home and see all of the reward from the great revival. Hallelujah. You see, Paul didn't know that he was Paul the Apostle. He didn't know that he didn't know if these letters were ever going to be kept or they were going to be chunked. Folks, we're headed towards a revival. And Satan keeps telling many of you, there's no need for you to keep going. Why don't you get discouraged over your last trial? Listen, we're fighting and believing for something that's bigger than ourselves. And our world cannot keep condensing. It has to expand. Well, let's wrap it up here. He said this. He answers a question that he felt like somebody might ask. In verse 29, he said, who is weak? Do you think this weakens me, all this stuff? I'm not weak. Do you think I'm offended? Do you think I'm offended at anybody, that my beaters? Do you think I'm offended at Christ? He says, I'm not burning up on the inside but through an offense. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmity. Now, when he gets to chapter 12, this guy knows how to. I mean, he's building these people up to a point where, you know, he has the anointed sarcasm to just tell them, look, okay, if these guys are putting in their cards like, I'm anointed. I've got a power suit and 5 points, and I think you need to hear me. Paul's not the only one with revelation knowledge. Well, Paul finally leaves them in the dust and says, look, I'll match their pedigree. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Jew. I studied the law. But how about this? How many of them's been beat all these times and keeps going? How many of them's been stoned and keeps going? And Paul says, please, this is not the way I should be acting. But I'm trying to wake you Corinthians up. And by the time he gets to chapter 12, he just leaves them all in the dust. And he starts talking about a man, and he's like, I once knew a man. Now, Paul's talking about himself, because I once knew a man that he went to heaven, and they're like, oh, God, oh, God. They're shouting him down now. PowerPoint. Yeah, PowerPoint, yeah. I knew a man that went to heaven. He went to the third heaven. Oh, and the words that he heard, come on, Paul, tell me. No, I can't tell you. Oh, tell me. No, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. And he says, but really the guy that I want to tell you about is the guy who's learned to face anything and keep going. Hallelujah. How did he learn this? Because he said, unless, verse 7, I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Listen, folks, if there's anything that will change the world around about you, it's the abundance of truth coming from this Word of God. Hallelujah. This is why Dave said before the miracle revival, there must become a revival of doctrine. And we're starting to see that. Have I arrived? No. My God, please. Have you arrived? No. But listen, the transformation process has to take place first from the Word of God. This was why Paul was so... Can you imagine why the enemy wanted to stop him so much? Was because of the abundance of what he knew from the Word of God. Hallelujah. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, God didn't give it to him. He tells you who came, where it came from, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And I'll tell you, and it's comical too. You'll hear, they'll say, we don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. My God, he spent the whole chapter before telling you what the thorn in the flesh was. Beatings, stonings, whippings, perils here, perils there. He had this thing that followed him around and went before him. You think you got trouble sometimes? Can you imagine going in and saying, good morning, and they say, kill him, kill him. What have I done? Just kill him. Kill him. He had a spirit that went in front of him. Say, did they look at me wrong Sunday or not? I'm not sure. They said good morning, but they didn't say it like good morning. They said good morning. Should they have said good morning, or should they have said good morning? I don't know. What do you think? And then you call four people and say, I don't know. Did Homer say good morning to you? Because I don't think he said good morning to me like he said it to you. See, our world can get real small. Or we can be just fighting atomic bombs and every day getting up and saying, it's all by His grace. I can win. I can win. He said, I sought the Lord three times that this thing might depart from me. Listen, in the answer that you receive here, or he got, was not a complacent melancholy, oh Paul, you'll have to put up with this. The definition of grace here is spelled out when Paul said, His strength has been perfected in my weakness. The greatest definition of grace in the New Testament is God's strength, the very best that heaven has. God didn't say, look, why didn't Jesus say, bind the thing, Paul? Listen, we're still living. There's a lease that the enemy has on this earth. Now, you don't have to allow him in your home. He doesn't have a right in your marriage. But there's a reason why that Jesus, after he met Satan in the wilderness, he didn't just say, I cast you out of my ministry and anything around me for the next 3.5 years. Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he just put, I cast you out of Israel. Don't follow me around. Why? Because the enemy has a lease. He has a right to regions. He has a right to be there until you go there and you cast him out. And you'll never be able to cast him all out of the world. You can take regions, but you have to go there and occupy it. And you have to move the forces of hell out. He could have said, why don't you bind the thing, Paul? He gave him something better than binding it. It wasn't living with it. In fact, it fulfilled binding all that Satan could do. When he said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul received the revelation knowledge on it. And what did he say here? This is what Christ's remarks were to him in chapter or verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness or in weakness. Now look at the revelation that Paul received from it. Most gladly, once he received this, three times it took him, and this man authored the book of Romans, which is the book on grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? Why would you lift your hands in the midst of something? Do you not? Are you forbidden to bind it at that point? No. You can cast the devil out of certain things when he comes, out of your day, out of your circumstances. But get this, because we are a force moving forward, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Gates are not marching. Gates are stationary. Gates are places where they've hemmed in the lost. We're the ones that are marching forward. We're not supposed to be retreating. We're fighting him because Paul was fighting him because he was marching on his territory. You stick your hand in a hornet's nest, get ready to get bit. They're there. Heels of ants are there when you stick your... Paul's marching into those areas. And he can bind and loose, but guess what? The greatest revelation that he can have about his life is no matter what he sins, Paul, if you'll worship me, my strength will come on you and you'll march through it and you'll have victory every time. Hallelujah. You'll come out on the other side. Are you getting anything? Bind and loose. Bind and loose. But understand this, that the fulfillment of your whole life is understanding that there's nothing. Don't let your world get small. Don't let your world get small. This is not just an imaginary story. He went through all these things. And yet he would not quit. Why? Because he realized this. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. This is his thorn. This is what he went through. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ. For when I am weak, that means when his flesh felt like, hey, I can't put up with this anymore. He learned, now here's another thing too. This takes practice, people. You don't learn it overnight. But the more that you do it, the more your spirit falls into that place where you just say, oh, I smell a trial. The atmosphere doesn't feel too good. I think he's trying to come into my home. Things have got a little edgy around here. Wait a minute. Am I going to sit down and let's just talk? Or am I just going to... Yeah, you need to talk sometimes, but listen. You need to lift your hands and worship God and say, hey, this thing that's trying to come in here, I worship you, Jesus. I switch my dependency. I switch my... And it doesn't have to get into a malignant state for you to switch your dependency. Start learning to switch your dependency that when you smell the devil, when it just starts tasting real bad, when the atmosphere starts tasting real bad, that's not the time to go mental. That's not the time to start reasoning it out. Well, maybe they didn't. Maybe they were mad at me. I don't know. Stop trying to figure it out. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Well, that's the only way we'll ever receive revival is to be able to pour ourselves over into this grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God.